Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jao weevi vaket bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of disease. Destruction is shoved down your throat. Death, disease, and destruction. Especially shoved down your throat this weekend. Getting kind of stuck in your throat, you know, the shape of a hot dog. Perfect for, you know, like getting caught in the throat of a young child. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and very exciting program today. Why? Because we'll be talking about the 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. How did I get into doing this? Get talked into this? We'll talk about it later in the program, but happy 4th of July weekend, happy Independence Day weekend. On the face of it, I know the show seems like it's against everything American, huh? You know, like against the hot dog and the burger on the grill on the 4th of July. I remember when I was a program director at a radio station in Seattle, Washington, The Sound. One of the on-air people, when meeting me and learning about my strange vegan ways, said, "So, basically, you're against everything American, right?" And I never thought of it that way. I thought I was for I was for everything American, you know, for family values, like keeping the parents alive, you know, for the environment here, for American children. But I was on this program on now for 14 years, was on, I'll tell you, everything from the Air America Radio Network to right-wing, you know, right-wing nut lunatic stations. Yes, right-wing stations like KPLS in Orange County. And when I spoke against the hamburger on the 4th of July, one of the conservative talk show hosts came into, you know, followed me, came in and said, you know, "Is the communist still in the building? Is the communist here?" You know, because, then we got into talking about how many heart attacks and strokes that he had had. I wasn't such a communist anymore. And then we both, you know, held hands happily in support of freedom of speech, oddly enough. I was on the same side of the issue as him. You know, actually, sometimes conservatives are for protecting constitutional rights, believe it or not. You know, that would be conservative-like. You know, into the Constitution, right? So, anyway, hope you're having a happy Independence Day weekend. Although, I'm not so happy because Daisy's not so happy about fireworks. Does your dog get freaked out by fireworks also? You know, my little vegan Chihuahua is all about love. She's not really liking the sounds of violence. You know, like them. Like gunfire outside the window, you know. But I told her she's lucky she doesn't live in the Middle East and other places around the world where such noise is a regular part of life and not, you know, just a celebration here where we at home, we do shock and awe for fun at home. So, you know, I wonder if the Founding Fathers were alive today, I think they would be turning over in their graves. at how free we actually are. Free to be slaves to banks and the dollar in the land of the free, where everyone is under surveillance, land of the free, where the, you know, the lowest of the low of citizenry. I guess this can be said, you know, with patriotic pride, that the lowest of the low of our citizenry can rise to the highest of the high offices of the land, where they pretend that they are us, or just like us, you know, for a few months, every few years, until they get elected and we find they are nothing like us. Where they make us think. They make us think we win a victory, huh? You know, we think their election is a victory until we see who the real bosses are once again. You get a Democrat in the White House and then you get policies much worse than Bush. But we can't protest them. He's our guy, right? He's the Democrat, you know? So, I mean, didn't we just think we won a victory against the Patriot Act? And then, I don't know, gets passed again just days later, or we win a victory against some horrible trade agreement like the TPP, right? And, you know, hey, victory, and then they pass it a few days later, you know, after we thought we won. Seems like our political victories are so much like our animal rights victories. You know, broken promises, never meant to be kept. Liberals like Feinstein of California voting for the TPP. The liberal Obama, right? Who is the head of our secret government, you know? It's like, wait, where is our government anyway? It's like such a secret from us. Of course, he pushes for the secret trade agreement. And of course, the rest of his liberal agenda, he wanting the Patriot Act and domestic spying, prosecuting whistleblowers, advancing unlimited military detention of U.S. citizens, having a kill list. Oh, and it all just keeps droning and droning on and on. And, you know, I was watching some political show on the internet a few days ago. They were covering the Hillary versus Bernie show. One of the guys, this liberal host, this progressive, talked about being at a barbecue. And at the barbecue, he said, a guy put a hot dog on his hamburger and ate it. And this liberal show, political show host said, isn't that like the craziest thing you ever heard? Like putting a hot dog on the hamburger and eating it is like, excuse me, you're at the barbecue. I think it's crazy that anybody is eating the hamburger or a hot dog at all. It's 2015. You're supposed to be smart. You're a liberal, progressive political analyst on the internet. You're at a barbecue. 2015, parents are still feeding children hamburgers and hot dogs? Hard to believe. I guess it is, you know, like a sporting event, isn't it, anyway? Joey Chestnut, who is the loser who was the winner of the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest for 8 years in a row, was dethroned yesterday, and dethroning a constipated meat eater takes some doing. So, but Joey Chestnut, or Chestnut, what's that knot in my chest? Eating 60 hot dogs at a time. What's that knot in my chest? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Joey Chestnut was dethroned. The new loser who won the contest is Matt Stoney, or maybe Matt Kidney Stoney, who stuffed 62 wieners down his throat in 10 minutes, two more than Chestnut. What's that knot in my chest? CNN said, quote, A smiling Stoney told the crowd... A smiling Stoney told the crowd, it was surreal to win on the sport's biggest stage. That was the quote. Yes, Matt Kidney Stoney thought it was surreal to win on the sport's biggest stage. Sport. Amazingly, well, ESPN mistook it for a sport also. It was broadcasting it live, but they got confused about what sports are, you know, when they started broadcasting poker, right? So poker is a sport. Hot dog eating is a sport. So is that thing, what, that ice thing? Like you put a bowling ball on the ice and you have a little broom and sweep next to it. What's that called? Curling? Okay, another sport. It was broadcast live on ESPN as a sport, quoting here, Joey's an amazing competitor. I know he brings 100% to the 4th of July, and he is a legend of the sport. That's Stoney speaking. Sports record stats. It's not how many home runs. That's not a sports stat anymore. Or how many touchdowns. No. The record in this sport is Chestnut's 69 hot dogs in 2013. Assessing his sports performance yesterday, Chestnut said, I just had trouble. I was slow and he was eating fast. Wow. That should secure Chestnut and his role as a future sports commentator for ESPN. That was a brilliant observation on the hot dog eating contest, huh? I just had trouble. I was slow, and he was eating fast. Okay. I'd like to hear him, you know, when he does his commentating on curling, when he sees that sport. Has to be the sports commentator on ESPN. So, anyway, who cares about, you know, a ball game when the real game is in the stands? How many... I see we have to take a break. Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue. Coming up in today's program, we have Kristen Lajeunesse, who wrote Will Travel for Vegan Food, Professor Gary Francione coming up at 6 p.m., and we will talk about tickets for the 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. Linden at goveganradio.com. Don't worry, Daisy. The fireworks are over. No more fireworks tonight. Don't worry. Daisy gets so freaked out by the fireworks, really. She just wants the sound of peace. I don't know. It seems like 4th of July, and we know what's patriotic. We have an allegiance to meat, right? And that's why this 4th of July hot dog eating contest at Nathan's is just so Americana that shall we do the pledge of allegiance here? Say it with me, okay? All right. I pledge diseases to meat slabs of the United Steaks of Listeria, and to the repugnant sandwich stands, contamination of fat blobs with heart disease and cancer for all. Thank you very much. That is so patriotic. It's as patriotic as the hot dog eating contest. We were talking about that before the break, that eight-time loser, the guy who won the hot dog eating contest for the past 8 years, Joey Chestnut, what's that knot in my chest, was dethroned by Matt Stoney, or Matt Kidney Stoney. Nathan's tweeted thanks to Chestnut. How sentimental. I'm so touched. How heart attacking. So Nathan tweeted that he's been, quote, an incredible champion for 8 straight years and showed his class in his defeat, end quote. And really, what shows more class than hot dog eating, right? I mean, you know. And by the way, women have class, too. This isn't just a sports championship for men. You know, so Mickey Sudo put 38 wieners in her mouth in 10 minutes, beating runner-up Sonia Thomas, who holds the women's dubious record of 45 hot dogs. So anyway, so these two losers who were the champions of their sport accounted for 100 of the 150 million hot dogs eaten over the 4th of July weekend and the 7 billion eaten over the summer season from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's according to the sports statisticians at the National Sausage and Hot Dog Council. And it seems that festivities were interrupted. There was a disruption of the award ceremony when the It's Not Food, It's Violencers took out their placards and chanted, are you willing to end the killing? Perhaps trying to, I don't know, maybe let the suicidal participants know that their sport is killing them? I don't know, there have been a number of demonstrations lately of the It's Not Food, It's Violencers. Kind of wish they would tell people what the solution is, though. People could think, all right, if it's violence, I'll look for a better alternative. I hear that there's humane meat out there. There's a humane hot dog in the world, isn't there? I'll eat cage-free, free-range, enriched cages, organic, local, grass-fed, pasture-raised, higher welfare. If it's violence, what can I do, right? Well, you can avoid the violence by going vegan. I sure wish that the It's Not Food, It's Violencers would tell people that. We do have to be somewhat direct with our action, or, you know, it's not food, it's violence will turn into, like, Meatless Mondays. Hey, tomorrow it's Meatless Monday. And as we've learned, we probably thought, oh, people get the message. Meatless Mondays, you go vegan. No, Meatless Mondays, they eat dairy and eggs. That's what it is. So anyway, direct message would be good. And I think that's what you'll find at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Tickets are actually on sale for the 2016. Go to worldvegansummit.com. I'll talk more about it in just a little bit on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. And Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Also, two pages on Facebook, two Bob Linden pages. And the website that you want to know right now is worldvegansummit.com. Worldvegansummit.com. Yeah, tickets just went on sale for the 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. It will take place July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. Early bird special tickets on sale now until August 1st. On sale now. Just $77 for adults, $67 for college students. That includes all lectures, all talks, all 3 days, and the expo. Go there. Right now, or wait till after the show. Thanks for support for the first World Vegan Summit and Expo from Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant in San Jose, which is equally or more excited now that the second one will be in its backyard here in the Bay Area. So if you are in the Bay Area, I recommend checking out this wonderful restaurant. It's one of the best in the world. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. You'll see the menu there, 520 East Santa Clara Street, and Vegetarian House caters. So if you have an event coming up, a business event, a social event, you're getting married, make sure the food is outstanding. Vegetarian House caters, vegetarianhouse.us. I'm not sure if my next guest made it to Vegetarian House yet, but she'll be on a speaking engagement that will have her in the Bay Area this month. And I will highly recommend to Kristen Lajeuneau that she go over to Vegetarian House. Kristen is the author of Will Travel for Vegan Food. And what an interesting story behind that. How are you, Kristen?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. So I would put Vegetarian House on your to-do list when you're here, not too far from Vallejo, where I know you're speaking in July at the end of the month. You can talk about that in a bit. But tell us about this book, how it came to be.
Sure. Well, it's a memoir about the 18 months that I spent living in a van and entirely off of donations, in an effort to eat at and write about every single completely vegan restaurant in the country. It ended up taking me 2 years to complete that mission. I made it through 48 states and ate at over 547 vegan restaurants. and the book came about, I was about halfway through the journey, and I had gotten a note from an acquaintance of mine in the Boston area, and he said that he and his wife were starting a new publishing house, and they were wondering if I was planning to write about the journey, and I wasn't. I wasn't planning to write beyond the blog that I was keeping track of the food-related stuff. And so one thing led to another. We kept talking and created an agreement that was going to be a coffee table book turned into a memoir, and here we are now.
That's great. So 48 states, and how many vegan restaurants?
547.
Oh, that's like every vegan's dream. Everybody wants to do that. What gave you the nerve to do it? I mean, I'm sure there are people who have thought, wow, I would love to do just that. But what were you doing? And then, you know, how did you decide to hop in the van and do it?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. It certainly didn't happen overnight. I was living in Boston at the time. I had just finished graduate school. I'd gone to Emerson College for marketing. And I had a really great job. I was working at a nonprofit animal welfare organization. And or at least I thought at the time that it was kind of a job that I would be in long term. And after probably about 6 months of being there and getting settled into kind of the 9-to-5 routine, I was feeling a little unsettled. And I started reading about people that were living nomadically and kind of designing their lives around the things that they most loved in life. And then I started asking myself more so, how would I want to spend my days if I could choose and if I wasn't totally bound by the work stuff and kind of what society said your life should look like? And so one day I come back to work after a lunch break after having read some of The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and kind of sat down at my desk, and the words "Will Travel for Vegan Food" just kind of appeared in front of me. And I kind of knew in that moment what I wanted to do. I started composing an email to my parents right away. I said, hey, guys, I just came up with this great idea. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to move into a van and try to eat at all the vegan restaurants I can find. A few days later, my dad replied and said something like, cool idea, you know, not really super encouraging. But once the idea kind of settled into my brain, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I started talking about it a lot. And about a year later, I quit my job, sold or donated almost everything I owned. I did a Kickstarter campaign to crowdsource funds, crowdfunding, and then used that to buy a van, renovated the van, moved in, and got going.
That's amazing. So how much did you raise from Kickstarter?
It was just over $12,000.
Wow. So people were paying you to eat and travel. Wow, that was a good idea.
Yeah, although I did severely underestimate just how much it would cost to take on such a journey. But I was fortunate that there were a few people that continued to donate. And, of course, I used up all of my own personal savings in the process as well.
So what would you estimate was the complete cost, since we're all planning on doing that now ourselves?
Yes. Well, for 2 years, traveling full-time, eating at restaurants for almost every meal, it cost just under $100,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I have to get a second job to do that. Okay. So, So, all right. Well, you got on the road, so I guess you should be telling us about some of your adventures once you got into the van and where you headed and what were some of your favorite places to eat.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a clunky start for sure. Last minute, even though I was planning to go by myself all along, I kind of last minute had met someone that I had feelings for romantically and was telling them about this journey that I was planning to go on. And they kind of, in the heat of the moment, said, oh, I'll come with you, and didn't realize that they were serious until a week later they had left their job and was planning to move into the van with me. And that kind of created a little bit of a rough start, because we very quickly realized that it wasn't the greatest living situation to jump into a small space, sharing that and getting to know each other all at the same time. And so there was a period of time, probably 4 or 5 months into the trip, where I kind of started over again. I was having a really difficult go of it, sharing the space with this person. And when I finally had the courage to invite them to leave the trip, I kind of started again. And that's when the journey really started changing my life. I had come to notice things about myself, the way that I was treating myself and treating other people, the fact that I hadn't spent much, if any, time alone. So the trip really forced me into this new space, like completely out of my comfort zone. And it really caused me to grow quite a bit as a person and know myself a lot more. In terms of some of my favorite places, I always think about the meal I had at Veg in Philadelphia. That was one of my favorites. And Portobello in Portland, Oregon. They have some really great food there, too.
Mm. So what did you have at Veg that was so great? That's in Philadelphia?
I wish I could remember. I did write a whole blog post about it and my love affair. And even in the blog post, I couldn't remember the names of the fancy dishes. But I have lots of pictures of the food and... what I remember most is that just being really impressed and blown away with the simplicity of what was in front of me, but the taste complex of even, say, a carrot, like a single carrot that was just prepared in a way that I couldn't even tell you what they did to it, but it was fantastic.
So Veg in Philadelphia, and then where else where were your other favorites?
I really liked Portobello in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there are a handful that I love. Sprig and Vine on the border of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. There's a really great place in Memphis, Tennessee called Imagine Vegan Cafe that completely surprised me. I wasn't expecting to find much of anything in Memphis, let alone a really great little vegan restaurant that has since been doing really well from what I hear. And, of course, you know, the usuals that people would expect, like Millennium, of course, is nice and...
I think Millennium is closed now, I think. I don't think it's...
They opened a new location in Berkeley, apparently.
Oh, is it open already? Yeah, I knew that it closed. And is it called Millennium?
And I haven't been to Crossroads yet. That opened after my trip ended, so I'm looking forward to trying that soon.
Right, Crossroads in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I like Sanctuary Bistro in Berkeley. Have you heard of that one?
Yes, I've been there. Yeah, it's a great
you've been there.
Place.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking to Kristen Lajeunesse, and she is the author of Will Travel for Vegan Food. She traveled in her van to 48 states and stopped at 547 vegan restaurants. And, you know, we and they were all like 100% vegan. Is that what they were? All vegan restaurants?
Yeah, most of them were. My goal was to eat at places that were just completely vegan, but there were a few vegan-friendly places like Veggie Galaxy in Boston. They have a couple of things that you can get, dairy cheese or something like that, and like the Chicago Diner, too. They have you can order some non-vegan things like for coffee and stuff like that. But yes, the goal was primarily completely vegan establishments.
Mm-hmm. Which I like to put in a word of support for them, since people are really, you know, they're the ones who put it on the line. So when we have a chance to support vegan restaurants and make the choice to go to a 100% vegan restaurant, it really helps. You know, the people need our support who really put it on the line. You know, and they're mm-hmm. you know, often on a shoestring budget and So were there any vegan restaurants in some out-of-the-way places? Like, what would be maybe some of the smallest towns or most rural? Whoops, we need to take a break. We'll continue talk a little more with Kristen Lajeunesse about her book, Will Travel for Vegan Food. What's the website?
WTFveganfood.com.
WTFveganfood.com. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. Professor Gary Francione coming up in a few minutes. We have a few minutes left with Kristen Lajeunesse, who is the author of Will Travel for Vegan Food. She has eaten at more vegan restaurants than you have. 547. Kristen, you will be in the Bay Area making appearances. I know you'll be in Vallejo at the Vallejo Bookstore. When is that? And are you in other places too in the Bay Area?
Or will be July 25th, which is a Saturday, and I'll be doing a Q&A and a reading with the Vegan Book Club there, but it's open to whoever would like to stop by. And I'm also planning a tentative book tour stop in San Francisco, though I haven't nailed on the location, but that would be likely be the following week the week before the 25th, and then I'll be in LA the last week of the month as well.
Okay, and again, so you'll be at the Vallejo Bookstore, 628 Marin Street, on what date again?
The 25th.
The 25th. Okay, and. So you're oh, and by the way, since you're in the area, and I don't know if you've, there's a nice Ethiopian restaurant, a lot of restaurants in Berkeley, Kaffa, which is an Ethiopian restaurant, Herbivore, Sanctuary Bistro, and the Potella restaurant in Albany is really good too. As I mentioned, there's Vegetarian House in San Jose, so I guess you'll keep busy here.
So where
was the most out of the way place where you found a vegan restaurant where you would least expect it?
I would say Montgomery, Alabama. There's a raw food place there. It was the only place in the entire state that I found that was entirely vegan. And the funny thing is I didn't even get to eat there. I did try their food, but when I had pulled up to their location, I realized they were closed, and it didn't match what I found online in terms of their hours. So I decided to kind of sit on the front porch and eat the leftovers I had from the previous place I stopped at. And while I'm sitting there, this woman comes out from across the street. She runs across, and she's yelling at me. She says, "You have to get out of here. You have to leave." I said, "What's going on? Is everything okay?" And she said, No. "There's a murderer on the loose. You have to leave town. They haven't found him yet." She's like, "But are you here for the restaurant?" And I said, "Yes." And so she ran inside. Apparently she worked there and lived across the street. She ran inside. She got me a takeout container of things to go so I could try the food. And then she sent me on my way.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
some adventure. And was there like a best vegan burger anywhere, or some best anything category like that that you could mention?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, it was in California. Let me just make sure I have the right city. It was kind of out of the way, and I was really surprised. One of the best, probably the best vegan burger I've ever had. I'm trying to remember the name of the town. Let's see. You know, I can't remember the name of the town. I'm trying to find it quickly online, but I don't want to keep everyone waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely best vegan burger. I'll have to send you the info out.
Okay, you'll send me the info, or I'll mention it on air next week or post it or something.
Yeah.
And I recommend the burger at Vegetarian House in San Jose. So, that's, I think, one of the best burgers that you will find anywhere also. So that's 100% vegan restaurant. So any other places you're planning to visit in the near future? You mentioned Crossroads in LA, but any others high on your list? Keep adding to that 547. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, well, I will be in Philadelphia next week for book tour stuff, and I haven't yet been to Hip City Veg, which is another place that opened after my trip ended. So I'm looking forward to trying that place. But yeah, I usually just go to my favorites. They're the ones that I know I enjoy the food when I go back to these locations. Yeah, Hip City Veg is on the list. And I just remembered the name of the restaurant in Northern California.
It is?
Yes, it's called Mineral in Murphy's, California.
Okay, thanks. We're out of time, Kristen Lajeunesse. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you when you're around town here. The book is Will Travel for Vegan Food. Thanks for being with us today. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, now broadcasting for 14 years inexplicably. We are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations. On we go with our vegan activism, and I do want to thank Evolution Dog Food, dog and cat food. Here's the deal. You get a 10% discount on Evolution Dog and Cat Food, including the new organic varieties, when you call 651-221-9056. 651-221-9056. If you mention Bob Linden or Go Vegan Radio, you receive the 10% discount, and Go Vegan Radio gets the 10% donation, which we certainly need now that we've committed to the 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. And in fact, we've even put the tickets on sale And you can buy them right now. The early bird special tickets now through August 1st. Just $77 for adults, $67 for college students. Not saying the college students aren't adults, but hey, take the discount. And that's for 3 days with all lectures and the expo included. And I hope that Professor Gary Francione will be gracing us with your presence at this one and leading the way and with a lot of workshops and presentations. How are you, Professor Francione?
Date, Bob? What's the date?
So it's July 29th, 30th, and 31st. Of 2016. So it's a year from now, July 29, 30, 31.
Count me. And this is the one that's going to be at Berkeley?
Berkeley, the campus of UC Berkeley.
Wonderful place, Berkeley.
Daisy will be there. Daisy is chiming in, and she's looking forward to being there.
I've ever heard Daisy bark.
It happens.
did I hear you right that Evolution is giving a 10% discount?
Yes.
I order that stuff all the time, but they don't give me any 10% discount.
Well, you didn't mention Bob Linden or Go Vegan Radio or Daisy. You didn't mention Daisy.
Oh, that there was this thing going on. I'm glad I finally found out, having just ordered it yesterday. No one. Oh, by the way. Given that you're on Bob Linden every week. That's all right. It's okay.
Well, you got to mention that. And there's a new organic line also that Evolution has. So,
and, you're kidding me, really?
I didn't
see that at all. Okay, well, you know, you learn something new every day.
Well, call him now. Call him back. Eric's a nice guy. He was at the summit. He'll be at the next one. So
I know. Well, they're not shipping my order until tomorrow because it was the 4th of July thing. You know, on Friday they couldn't FedEx couldn't pick up. So my order really hasn't technically shipped. So I will call and
call him after the show today. Give him a call.
You know, I'll call him on one of the breaks that we have when I'm listening to 27 minutes of ads. So Bob, I'm trying to understand something here. You know, I've been looking at this thing, this Moby talking about not taking showers so that you can responsibly eat beef. And, you know, Bob, when I first saw it, I thought it was a joke. Somewhat along the lines of my, you know, I wrote an essay a few years ago called Important New Campaigns. No factory farm small fish on Friday. And it was this idiotic essay, and it was the point of it was to show how silly these happy exploitation or these various campaigns are. That I was promoting the idea that on Fridays we do not eat small factory farm fish, which leaves it open for medium size and large and any other sort of animal, etc. It was a silly essay, but it was intended to point out the silliness of these various campaigns. So when I first heard about this Moby, taking this position, I thought it was a joke.
Well, that's the problem. I immediately drove me crazy. The first time I saw it, I wanted you to see it. I know you were traveling to the UK and all, but I immediately started talking about this on the socialist networks, and everybody was saying, "Oh, come on, it's a satire. You don't have a sense of humor. It's a joke." And apparently, that was your first reaction too, huh?
Well, yeah, it was, and then I sort of, you know, I watched the thing, and he actually cites this organization that, you know, that is promoting this campaign, and I watched their video, and it seemed almost tongue-in-cheek to me, but apparently somebody told me, I don't know if this is correct, but is the group or the people who are launching this, do they have some connection to the beef industry?
Well, the one who's launching it is a third-generation California cattle rancher who, you know, has a stake in this campaign, you know?
A stake in this campaign? Is that a pun, Bob?
No, I would never, not from me, but, you know, but when Moby says you can have your steak and eat it too, I don't know about that.
Well, actually,
yes, so,
you know,
so So he's a California cattle rancher, and right on the website, skipshowersforbeef.com, it says this campaign was started in support of the beef industry. It says it right there.
Well, all I can say, Bob, is that if this isn't a satire, it ought to be, because to call it dumb is an insult, dumb thing. And so,
right.
so incredibly silly that, I mean, I was watching the video. The guy is, like, putting powder in his hair because he can't, you know, I mean, they're coming up with, you know, with things that you can do to avoid using water.
Right, baby wipes and, you know, yeah, just ways of, you know, staying cleaner so you can, you know, have fewer showers, but continue to eat beef responsibly. That, you know, I mean, you know, I know, Gary, it seems, it's so absurd that people think it's satire and people think that I'm satirically challenged. But then if you go to CBS San Francisco, They're not getting it either. You know, the headline is DJ musician Moby tells drought-shamed Californians to skip showers so they can eat beef responsibly.
Well,
that's the headline.
That's the whole point. The movement has become such an absurdity. The movement itself has become satire of itself, as it were.
So you don't know what's real anymore, right?
I mean, if this were a satire. The movement, I mean, look, Bob, HSUS has a pig farmer as one of its officers. PETA gives awards to Temple Grandin and Whole Foods. The movement gets behind Whole Foods, and father of the animal rights movement, Peter Singer, sends a public love letter to Whole Foods signed by himself and all of the large groups in this country expressing their appreciation and support for the Whole Foods Happy Exploitation campaign. So in a context in which this is normal, this is completely serious behavior, it sets a tone, and that is that the movement, I hate to call it, movements imply forward motion, and to call the animal rights or animal movement or whatever you want to call it a movement is itself a misdescription because it only goes in one direction, and that is backward. But given the sorts of campaigns that have become so typical for the movement, I guess no one would notice if it were satire. Just as people don't notice when I post my factory farm small fish. I mean, every time I post that essay, I'll get some comments from people who think it's for real. And I suppose that if this were a satire, it's either a satire, in which case the fact that CBS doesn't realize it is a real statement about how idiotic the movement has become and how silly it has become, or it's not a satire, in which case it is so incredibly absurd that one doesn't know where to start. So, you know, either way. Now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Moby does make comments which are very disappointing. I want to make one thing clear. I think it is terrible that the movement has turned itself over to a bunch of celebrities who, to call them superficial is the nicest thing I can say. These are people who basically, I mean, the celebs, whenever a movement celebritizes, especially to the extent that the animal movement, it's a sign of ill health of the movement. Celebrities are great if they want to, if they want to join the cause, although most of them keep away from causes that are controversial. But to do what the animal movement does, which is to basically fetishize celebrities and to really celebritize itself, you know, you hand the reins of it over to people who are against, you know, something one week and for something the next, depending on what they think their fan base likes. So, I mean, but I've read some things that this Moby fellow has written, and he does tend to say things like, well, I mean, he had a whole essay about how, you know, we need to get along with omnivores because we've got to stop being militant. which I think is a, you know, I mean, look, I think we ought to try to get along with everybody so we can educate them. But this idea that, you know, we ought to just sort of like chill out and not be militant about what is arguably one of the greatest injustices in the history of the universe is really not something I particularly take to or agree with.
He's very apologetic about veganism, it seems. You
yeah,
know,
I mean, just... he does say things like, it's my choice. But I don't, you know, it's not something for everyone. I mean, I read something recently in which he said, he said what he said on this showering video.
He said, hi, I'm Moby, and I'm a vegan. That's my personal choice, but I also believe it's possible for you meat lovers to enjoy your meat responsibly.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him make comments like that in non-shower context.
The shower context, I don't know. It's pretty amazing. We'll continue this discussion with Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton. Is she there? Do I hear her? I thought she was with us.
She's not here right now, but I'll try to get her to come on for the next segment.
Okay. All right. We will continue, and tickets are on sale now. WorldVeganSummit.com. Early bird special. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And the Bob Linden page is on Facebook, and it is the 4th of July weekend, and everybody's grilling those burgers and hot dogs to carcinogenic perfection. You know, that's forms those HCAs, another plate of cancer for the kids. So we're talking today to Professor Gary Francione, and you just traveled to the UK, so you weren't around when I was going through the social networking discussion regarding Moby and this Skip Showers for Beef campaign. And you know, everybody thinks it's satire. They still think it is, even though CBS San Francisco says, quote, California's drought is serious and the state's uber-thirsty beef industry is taking a huge hit. Now the Grammy Award-winning DJ, musician, and very vegan artist Moby is the face of a new campaign that lets folks have their steak and eat it too, even in these drought shaming times. Just Skip Showers, and then it goes on. So you got to get the joke in satire. You know, there has to be, you know, something funny or exaggerated or, you know, unreal.
Well, you know, I when I was reading this stuff and watching that video, by the way, Anna is not going to be able to join us. We have one of our recent rescues is a lovely dog who we have learned recently has great anxiety when there is thunder. And we've had a lot of that recently with the weather on the East Coast. But this weekend,
and Daisy
right now,
is that way with the you have thunder happening now.
Well, so. No, right now we have, you know, for some reason there are a lot of people who find loud noises to be amusing and entertaining. And well, so we have, you can't hear them because I have the windows closed, but...
And Daisy, too. She really gets upset
really
by the fireworks.
It's terrible because it sounds like you know, a war zone in the background because we have people who are exploding these. See, in Pennsylvania, where I am right now, you can buy cherry bombs and all sorts of things at the grocery store. I know it's really quite remarkable, but you can go to the grocery store, pick up some bananas and a few cherry bombs, and you know these things have quite a bit of gunpowder in them, and they are very loud. And and so right now there's a constant boom, 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 and my poor dog is just frantic in the other room.
Daisy gets that way too.
Something called the Thunder Shirt. I don't know if you have one of those for Daisy, but it's a shirt that hugs them Probably based on Temple Grandin's hugging principle that he uses to make cows feel better when they're on their way to slaughter. I don't know.
I've been hugging her, but she just trembles. You know, it's just really.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's terrible because our guy George gets frantic and he tries to dig a hole in the floor and which obviously is not successful. And it's really very sad to see that level of fear. And, you know, all of the animals out in the woods, just freak out with that stuff. I mean, it's idiotic. I really do wish, if I had, several wishes, one of them would be that we would get rid of all guns and explosives and all of that sort of stuff.
I'm with you, yeah.
Of the earth. But, you can't do much about thunder, but you can do things about human-caused loud noises that come from weapons and bombs and things that you buy at the grocery store to celebrate independence or whatever it's supposed to be.
Right. I told Daisy, I guess we're lucky we don't live in the Middle East where this is just, regular. You know, here it's only entertainment. It's for real elsewhere in many places.
Yes, exactly. If you lived in Gaza, poor Daisy would be having a constant nervous breakdown. But related to this Moby thing and what's really happened to the movement, so-called, we just got back from a trip to Britain. And I was very interested to see and sad to see that in driving around, now there's quite a bit of veganism in London, and that's good. That seems to be a good development.
Oh, we'll have to time for another break. The music will take a break. I guess there probably aren't too many firecrackers in London and the UK this weekend, right? They're not celebrating this this holiday. So we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden with Professor Gary Francione. Get your tickets now, worldvegansummitandexpo.com. On Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and it seems that we do need not just a very vegan summit and expo, apparently we need a very, very vegan summit and expo, since the very vegans are leading beef-eating campaigns, so... So I guess we really do need to have that 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. And the tickets are on sale now. The early bird special tickets are just $77 for adults, $67 for college students. It will be July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. So you can get your tickets right now by going to worldvegansummit.com, worldvegansummit.com. This will be very, very vegan activism. Not just very vegan, because Very Vegan Moby is now the face of a campaign to eat beef in California. And Moby is also the face of the Humane Society of the United States. Professor Francione, I don't know if you saw recently Wayne Pacelli interviewed Moby, and Moby again apologized that he was vegan. And Wayne Pacelli said, well, you don't have to be vegan to help farm animals. So, to impress upon us that thought again that, it's a little extreme, unnecessary. So...
And then the upcoming one, although I thought the last one was fantastic, I think this one's got to be actually, there were some speakers, I didn't hear everybody, but I heard some of them, and there were some speakers, everybody was talking veganism, but there were some speakers who were making accommodating remarks about some of the other groups in terms of their positions, and I think that's got. My hope is in the next. Look, the challenge we're facing is we have just got to put that phenomenon aside, that whole happy exploitation, animal welfare, single issue campaign thing. It's just, it can't play any role in a coherent movement, a real social movement, a real progressive social movement for that has veganism as a moral imperative. It just can't work. And so, I think we've got to really, really be clear on that. And I think the last one was fantastic. I loved the summit. But I think this one's got to even be more so, even more focused on the idea that veganism is a moral imperative, and there is no compromise to that whatsoever. And so this idea that, well, you know, we've got to, you know, be open to these other people, these other groups. I mean, again, I don't believe we should be nasty to them or whatever. I think we should just ignore them, frankly. That's what I think we got to do. We got to ignore them. Because, look, that's why you and I are having a conversation on, you know, July 5th, 2015, talking about Moby and his encouraging people to take fewer showers so that they can responsibly eat beef. But this is all part of a big problem. You know, as I mentioned before the break, and I will mention now before the next break comes, Ann and I just got back from a trip to the United Kingdom. It was a very quick trip. But we spent some time driving around. And once you're outside of London, it's really remarkable. You know, all the farms you drive by, you see these signs, you know, free-range eggs. I saw this one sign. I saw one sign that it said proper free-range eggs. And, you know, advertising, grass-fed, beef and all this. I mean, it's all over the place. And what's really interesting to me is that it's really easy. When you're outside of London, it's very, very easy to find vegetarian food. It's not easy to find vegan food. And what is replaced the vegan message? Because, you know, my impression, because I lived in Britain in the 1970s, spent quite a bit of time there in the 80s and 90s, and my impression is that it's gone backward. Now, again, in London, it seems to be making progress. In some other places, it seems to be making progress. And it remains to be seen, you know, these Veg Fest events are quite big events. And Tim Barford has now really come out very strongly in terms of a vegan message. That is not to say that he still does not, promote to some degree these welfarist groups. But he himself and the Veg Fest is taking much more of a strict vegan position. So that will be interesting because those events that he has draw thousands of people. So I will be very interested to see what changes are wrought by Tim's focus and shift over to veganism as a baseline. But I can tell you that when Anna and I were driving around, we were really disheartened to see the ubiquitous, pervasive, happy exploitation message. You go into a grocery store, there's all this happy exploitation stuff, you know, happy cows, happy pigs, you know, happy dairy, happy this, happy that, happy eggs. But, you know, that whole thing has really become rooted. It's big business. Happy exploitation is big business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with, is this idea that we can find the right way to do the wrong thing. And that's what, you know, that's what makes it perfectly plausible for somebody like Moby. And I admit, I've never listened to the guy's music, you know. I mean, maybe it's good, I don't know. But this is what leads him and these other celebrity types to talk about, well, I'm vegan, but, you know, it's my choice. No, it's not a choice any more than you're choosing not to violate the fundamental rights of humans. I mean, nobody would say, well, you know, it's my choice that I don't engage in sexism. Well, you shouldn't engage in sexism because it's wrong. It violates fundamental rights of people to engage in sexism and misogyny. But yet we all feel comfortable, or many of us feel comfortable, in saying, well, you know, veganism, it's a choice. And you know, it's my choice, but, you know, you don't have to choose it. The response is, I can't make you choose it, but you ought to choose it if you care about morality. And if you tell me you care about animals, you don't really have a choice. You've got to choose vegan because there are two positions. You either are vegan or you are supporting animal exploitation. There ain't no third position. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is The happy exploitation movement, which is being promoted by all these companies, all these corporations, all these big wealthy animal welfare corporations, is pervasive. It's worked. It's really sort of captivated people because it requires they do nothing. All they have to do is go to the store and maybe pay a few cents more for some. But they've now been sold the license by these large organizations.
Mm. And who's the guilty party in the UK? Who's the guilty party in the UK? We point to HSUS and Mercy for Animals.
All these groups, because it's not just, Bob, it's not just the HSUS here. It's HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, PETA, all of these organizations, Vegan Outreach. In the UK, it's Viva, it's Animal Aid, it's the RSPCA. The RSPCA is just like HSUS. I mean, they've even got their own brand. Of course, HSUS does too, the Humane Choice label. But the RSPCA, actually, I believe the RSPCA was the first one out there with their happy exploitation label, the Freedom Food label. I mean, it's a tremendously problematic organization. But so is Animal Aid, Viva, all of these other groups. I mean, they're all the same sorts of organizations. These are all the same organization. They just have, different names, and, they may have different sort of styles, but the substantive message is the same. And so, this is what we've got. This is what we've got. When we're busy talking about, we're celebrating cage-free eggs and celebrating crate-free pork and, crate-free veal, and that's what you get. I mean, right now it's big in the UK is the foie gras campaign. Viva's really into the foie gras campaign. Well, I mean, that's absurd. There is nothing more immoral. I mean, foie gras is no more immoral than any other animal product. And if you get people to stop eating foie gras, which you're not going to do, but I mean, assume that you do, they don't become, they don't buy tofu instead. They just switch to a different meat. So, I mean, this is why we've got to make veganism the moral baseline. This is why we've got to be clear with people. The message has got to be clear. When you tell people don't eat foie gras, be compassionate, don't eat foie gras, what you're saying is that steak is compassionate, pork is compassionate, eggs are compassionate, dairy is compassionate. That's
actually wrong. If you just skip a few showers, they actually are compassionate.
Exactly. But, I mean, look, and the one thing that I think people have to understand about these single-issue campaigns like that, for example, or welfare campaigns, these campaigns all require the formation of coalitions, which include people who engage in the very activity of animal exploitation, but different sorts of animal exploitation. So what you do, and a lot of people don't understand this, what the mechanics of a welfare campaign are or a single-issue campaign. They are campaigns that require the formation of coalitions that involve people who engage in, promote, and support other forms of exploitation of animals. But you've got to get them on board. But the way you get them on board is by sending out the normative message that by pursuing alternative forms of exploitation, they're being better people. And that's the problem with welfare campaigns and single-issue campaigns and why I say they necessarily promote animal exploitation. They have to. The only way they can work, the only way a single-issue campaign against foie gras works is if you send out the message explicitly or implicitly that other animal foods are better, morally better. The only way an anti-fur campaign works is by involving people who wear leather and wool and reinforcing the idea that fur is worse than wool and leather. This is why all of this is just nonsense. It can't work, and the empirical proof is there. It doesn't work. And in my judgment, I think we've gone backward, really, really backward. Where now you can drive around Britain and you can find, you can go to a restaurant and they'll tell you they've got humanely, produced eggs. They've got cage-free eggs that they'll serve you or that are in their dairy, their baked goods or whatever. But it's very hard to find something vegan. You can always have a salad, which is generally what I do. But as far as prepared food is concerned, you don't see much of that because there is no demand for it. Mm. Because the animal groups have made everybody feel better about happy exploitation. You can do the wrong thing the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a complete disaster, which is why we need to put all of that aside. We need to put aside What we are living with now is Peter Singer's movement. It is his movement. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Everybody has bought hook, line, and sinker into the idea that what we ought to be doing is reducing suffering. That's what we ought to do. That's what we all ought to be supporting. So that makes it basically, I mean, you can argue that anything reduces suffering. So basically, it provides.
Got to take a break. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. We are on 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays live. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com, where the shows are archived. I want to thank John, our studio engineer at the Genesis Communications Network. This will be his last show at the controls for us. Thanks, John, for doing a great job, and thanks for support of the radio show from Selectee. That's S-E-E-L-E-C-T, Selectee.com. Second most popular beverage in the world after water. And you have a website. You can order from the website. Organic tea, medicinal, flavored, instant, tea blends, rooibos, black tea, green tea. You name it. It's there. Selectee.com. Also thanks to Nature's Flavors, naturesflavors.com. Whether you're just having fun in the kitchen or you're a professional chef, check out this website. Thousands of items. Everything is vegan. Everything from, well, flavors, because it is Nature's Flavors, but vegan baking mixes, Bertie and Bill sodas, organic essential oils, just, hey, thousands of products. I can't name them all right now, but you can go to naturesflavors.com. And we're talking to Professor Gary Francione about a movement that is not ours, and that's why we're going to have a 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo on the campus of University of California at Berkeley, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. 2016, that is. Early bird special tickets are on sale right now at worldvegansummit.com. Just $77 for adults, $67 for college students. There will be an optional meal plan offered to you later, but right now these discounted tickets are at that price until August 1st. So check it out, and we look forward to seeing Professor Francione at the at UC Berkeley next year. And there is definitely the need. We know that for sure.
You know, let's hope that what we witness at Berkeley next summer is similar to what happened at Berkeley in 1968. Oh, those were good years, Bob. Yeah, good time.
And, yep.
And you know, people wanted to change the world, and Berkeley was a real center for radical thinking, and that's what we need. Radical means, you know, getting to the root, and that's what we really need to do. Radical doesn't mean violent. It means getting to the root, and that's what we need to do. We need radical thought. We need to really rethink the situation. When you have Moby saying we need to think outside the box, so we need to be taking fewer showers, food responsibly.
Really? You know, Moby, let's think outside the box and everyone go vegan, huh? Wouldn't that have been something?
That's thinking outside the box. That's nonsense. That is like being so inside the box that you don't, you can't think your way out of the box, even if the top of the box is open. So, you know, that's what we need to do. We really do need to rethink this, and we need to get away. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this coming weekend. I'm going to be speaking at Vegetarian Summerfest. The first thing I'm going to ask is why it's not called Vegan Summerfest. Although, you know, I haven't been to one of those in years, and they've always been vegan. They always were. I mean, I used to speak at them in the 1990s, and they were always vegan. But, you know, I think historically they were called, you know, it was the North American Vegetarian Society. And, you know, a lot of people sort of stick to the tradition, but it is it's an exclusively vegan event, and I'm looking forward to talking to them this weekend because, you know, there's a lot, you know, I'm going to be talking to them about abolition, I'm going to be talking to them about veganism as a moral baseline, and I'm going to be talking to them about why we need to form a grassroots social justice movement that places animals and not, you know, not large, you know, animal welfare corporations at the center of, you know, of the focus. And so, but you know, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. We need more than just another one next summer. But you know, we need to doing them regularly. We need to be providing a venue for people to deprogram. Actually, is I think the right word to deprogram from the nonsense, the propaganda that they get inculcated with by these large groups that we need to take baby steps, that, you know, the world's not going to go vegan overnight, blah, 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 blah. We have to do something now, and the something now is promote these welfare reforms and to partner with institutional exploiters. That's not the answer. That's the opposite of what the answer is.
We just ran out of time, and I wanted to bring up something, but why bring it up when we're out of time? Maybe we'll get into it next week, how people are saying we need to be more than vegan, we need to be anti-speciesism. But we can't get into that now, but that's what I've heard this week. Okay, thanks again, John, for a great job at GCN, and we will talk to you next week. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.